an amazing opportunity, though, as we look at our men's ministry. I encourage you guys, if you can, be there at that retreat right here in Clay County later on this spring. Today, we're going to look at one of the most remarkable stories of the Bible, and it's about a king named Joash. Joash, when he became king of Judah, he was 7 years old. 7 years old. I mean, imagine right now us going to the kids ministry and all of a sudden we bring in up a 7-year-old up here and we say, this 7-year-old is now going to be the pastor of RCC, right? This 7-year-old is going to be the mayor of our community. This 7-year-old is going to be the governor of our state. This 7-year-old is going to be the president of our United States of America. What would you think at that moment? And that kind of gives you an idea here. Joash was a son of a king. And he took on the throne, once again, at age 7. He had a remarkable mentor. He had a remarkable advisor, counselor. His name was Joada. And Joada says this in 2 Chronicles 24. And Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Joada, the priest. A similar statement is given us in 2 Kings chapter 12. You see, 2 Chronicles 24 and 2 Kings 12 are telling the same story pretty much from different perspectives. Joada was an important influence in Joash's life, a valuable mentor. I hope you have a valuable mentor in your life. And who is that? And so the setting of our text, there's kind of this genuine revival going on in Judah at that time, spiritual revival. But it's interesting because Joada has come in and he started removing all the Baal towers, the worship of Baal. Or some call it Baals, and if you want to actually pronounce it correctly, it's called Baal, but here in the South, we call it Baal, all right? Baal worship was against God, or Jehovah, or Yahweh, and they would worship a fake god named Baal, or Baal. And so we see all of a sudden, Scripture says in 2 Kings chapter 12, it says the high places, which are those places where they would worship Baal, we're not taken away. The people continue to sacrifice and make offerings in those high places. So you have kind of this dualistic lifestyle going on in Judah. We see it in our own country, right? People who are worshiping other things and other people who are worshiping the true God, Yahweh. And so that's also growing and that's getting traction. Like I said, there's spiritual revival going on, but there's also some work to be done. For example, the temple of the Lord is in bad shape. The temple, God's house, is in bad shape. And so this young king, Joash, instructs the priest, hey, some of the money that's collected, because they had different money collected for different things, we need to collect some of that money to make sure it goes to the temple repair there in Jerusalem. To make sure whatever's needed gets repairs, and repairs are discovered, we can jump on it. And here's what it says. I want to read to you out of 2 Chronicles 24. Look what it says. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years. His mother's name was Zebiah. She was from Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days Joada, the priest. Joada chose 2 wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Sometime later, though, Joash decided to restore the temple of the Lord. He called together the priests and the Levites and said to them, hey, go to the towns of Judah and collect the money due annually from all Israel to repair the temple of your God. Do it now. This is what the king says. But the Levites, look at this, read with me. But the Levites did not act at once. They did not act quickly. They didn't follow the king. Therefore, the king summoned Joada, the chief priest, and he said to him, I think it's an important question, why? Why haven't you required the Levites to bring in from Judah and Jerusalem the tax imposed by Moses, the servant of the Lord, and by the assembly of Israel for the tent of the covenant law? At the king's command, a chest, look at this, a chest was made and placed outside the gate of the temple of the Lord. A proclamation was then issued in Judah and Jerusalem that they should bring to the Lord the tax that Moses, the servant of God, had required of Israel in the wilderness. All, look at this, all the officials and all the people brought their contributions, what, church? They brought them what? Gladly. They brought them gladly, dropping them into the chest until it says, until it was what? Until it was full. Now, whenever the chest was brought in by the Levites, the king's officials, and they saw that there was a large amount of money, the royal secretary and the officer of the chief priest would come and empty the chest and then carry it back to its place. And they did this regularly and collected a great amount of money. Now let me go back to a statement that says that the Levites did not act at once, or did not act, some translations say, quickly. It also says in 2 Kings chapter 12, that by the 23rd year of King Joash, which would make him 30 years old, remember he started at 7, it would say that the priests had made no repairs on the house. The king had given this order years before, but the priests are dragging their feet. They're doing nothing. They just left God's house, the temple, in such bad shape, and it had been like that for years. The clear implication of this in 2 Kings chapter 2 or 12 is the priests were spending the money, God's money, on themselves. Can you imagine that? They were spending money that was directed towards God's house, God's mission, God's kingdom, and they were directing it towards themselves. So Joash instructed them to stop collecting. All right, you knuckleheads, you stop collecting. He told them, I'll get someone else to repair the temple. And the priests agreed to it. They're like, you know what? We didn't want to do this anyway. We want to collect the money. We don't want to repair the temple. It's pretty sad when you have to ask people who are supposed to be the leaders to step aside so the work can be done. That's pretty sad. And I want you to know something. I am thankful that's not the problem here at RCC. I praise God that our leaders step up and answer the call, but not these guys. So in 2 Chronicles 24, it says, at the king's command, look at this, it says, what was it, church? A what? A chest was made. At the king's command, a chest was made and placed outside the gate of the temple. Then he sent out a proclamation that people should come and contribute to the work of the house of God, the place where people came to worship God. They collected such amazing amount of money that they went beyond and able to do actually extra repairs to the temple. Verse 13, the men in charge of the work were diligent. The repairs progressed under them. They rebuilt the temple of God according to its original design and reinforced it. They added to it. They made it better. With the money left over, they were able to do other things to enhance the worship to God. So the question is, what in the world does this story about a young king in an ancient chest have to do with us here with RCC in 2022? All right? First thing is this. This is in your notes. Guess what? God still uses people. He still uses us. God used young Joash to do something great for the kingdom. He was God's man for God's house in God's time. And when God wants to do something, guess what? He always uses his people. He always anoints his people. He anoints people, not methods. The people are his methods, okay? He uses people. So if this world is ever going to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, God is going to use you. He's going to use you, me. He's going to use people. God wants to use you, work through you. The question to this morning is this. Even you online, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you willing to sell out for God and say, God, whatever it is, whatever you want, I am yours. William Henry Ward, I love what he said. He says, for every achievement, there's a price. For every goal, there's an opponent. For every victory, there's a problem. For every triumph, there is a sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to face the opposition? Do whatever needs to be done to do something great for God. Someone else said this. He said, there is no thrill in easy sailing. And when the sky is clear and blue, there's no joy in merely doing things which anyone can do. For there is some fulfillment that is mighty sweet to take. When you reach a destination, others thought you could not make. And I love that because I look at my own life, I look at my own story, and I think about people who looked at me and said, you know what, he doesn't have what it takes. There's no way he can end up doing that or continue to do that. Or, you know, I've had that in my life. I know you've had it in your life. And even here at RCC, we've had people say that about RCC. There's no way RCC can survive this. There's no way they're going to be able to pull that off. There's no way they can take on what they've taken on and use it for God's kingdom. There's no way. And I want to tell you this. In some ways, they're right. But guess what? God can. God can use you. God has used us. God has used me. God has used this church. I love what someone said, the greatest pleasure in life is doing what people say you cannot do. And I love that because God is able to do with us. So we learn from Joash that God still uses people. And on top of that, the work of God is our top priority. We see this in verse 4 where King Joash has from God just put on his heart to do something great for God, and that is to restore God's house. But the Levites, the guys in charge, they're dragging their feet. And you think when someone says, hey, there's work to be done for God's house, that everyone would jump in, right, and do it. Wrong. Sometimes the very people who receive all the blessings, sometimes the very people who receive all the benefits are the least and last to support the work of God, the church. Why would they do this? Well, I love what Philippians says. There's a reminder that says, for everyone looks out for his own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. You know, here at RCC, I think about what God does with his house, what God does even with this building and this campus right here. This represents the most important person in the universe and the most important work in the universe, what God does here. The house of God, what God does in a church building, with a church campus. I want to tell you right now, if it wasn't for what God did in those church buildings I grew up in with the church, I wouldn't be here right now. People inspired me. People served me. People encouraged me. People walked alongside me. People were there in that place that came beside me in the lowest points of my life. It's a place where people of God meet, where people hear about Jesus, where people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's a place where lives are changed, marriages are mended, problems are solved, needs are met, destinies are determined, and God's will is done. So we hear from the story, God still uses people like you and me. God's work is our top priority. And number 3, when God's people decide to pull together and do something great for God, guess what? The results are always miraculous. They're always miraculous. Verse 10, it says, all the people got involved, bringing their contributions and putting them into the chest. When we look at this, we see the people of God. When God put in King Joash's vision, the people of God, they gave obediently to it. We see that. That's in your notes, the first thing. They gave obediently. God, unlike the Levites, they're obedient. Second, I love this point, they gave joyfully. They gave joyfully. It says this, that all the officials and all the people brought their contributions, remember the word, gladly dropping them off into the chest until it was full. We talked about this last week where God loves a cheerful giver. We said the word there is hilarion, which is where we get our word hilarious from. God loves it when people love to give. And thirdly, these people gave abundantly. They brought in so much that they had to empty the chest. They put it back out there. They filled it up. Then they emptied it again. It went on and on and on until the project was completed. And I want to take you back to how I just started this point right here. And that is when God's people come together and they want to do something miraculous, when they want to do something great for God, miracles happen. And let me tell you about one of those miracles. One of those miracles of God is you. It's you. Let me tell the story about your church, RCC. Will you guys give it up for Tim Queens? He heads up out here. Give it up to Tim as he comes out this way. Tim was there at the very first meeting of RCC, River Christian Church. And what I want to do is kind of use this time to tell the story about River Christian Church. Tim is also one of our elders. He's been with us every step of the way. And Tim is going to kind of help us kind of understand what your story, what my story is. So Tim, tell me about the very first Sunday, almost 7 years ago. What was that very first Sunday like?
Yeah, the very first Sunday was an interesting Sunday. We had no intention of starting a church, of trying to meet together as some sort of a formal church at all. It was just 30 people, men, women, and children that knew each other, loved to serve together, and felt that we could be doing more to serve Christ here in our community, that we wanted to go ahead and be more of a servant to the community, but also to bring the Word of God to more people. So we just met on that Sunday at Eagle Harbor Pool to just pray together and worship and figure out what was God calling us to do next.
So you can see on the screen, you know, so you can remember this, because there's a lot going on here. In our 7 years, a lot has happened, okay? So we start off with, you see three people. Each one of these people represents 10. So we start off at Eagle Harbor Pool. What happened then?
people started showing up that just wanted, people that we knew, people we didn't know, started showing up hearing that we were trying to figure out what should we do, be doing better for the community. And so more people started to grow and worship together and meet together to figure out where we're going to go to next. And we ran out of space, right? So we found a great place to meet, which was a funeral home, right? Wonderful place, very inviting because we wanted to invite people.
So we had growth, 30 people, now we have 50 people. And in it was actually in the cemetery, not like funeral, it was actually right there by the tombstones.
Right, Russell Haven Arrest, they have two buildings on their property. The original building's really small, it's nestled within the tombstones. That's where we were meeting, just because, again, we weren't really looking to build a church. We were just trying to figure out where we're going to next as a body of believers. And then they allowed us to go up to what we call the Big House, which was their more modern building away from the tombstones. We had to grow and go up there. And it was great, too, because we didn't have a preacher, right? So we were really, really sophisticated. We were just being prayerful, worshiping. What do we do? How do we be more impactful to the community? And during that time, we were doing that. We were going out, rehabbing houses, the things that we do today at the church, such as blessing baskets for Thanksgiving, also backpacks going back to school, helping schools get beautified. A small group of 30 people, then 40, 50, 60. We were just doing that throughout Clay County.
Now, it's interesting. You go, why a hearse? There were Sundays when people would come to church and a hearse would be right there in front, right?
That's right. I think one of my wife's claims to fame is that she got to drive the hearse because we'd show up and be like, oh, we can't get into the building. So she got the keys. She drove the hearse around the back. And
uh-huh.
Yeah, good story.
So that was our third campus.
That was
all right?
Our third.
And then what happened then?
So, so we're at a third campus and things are really starting to shape our minds that more people have showed up. We need a pastor. This is a church. Right? Kind of like the accidental church, if I was going to look at it that way. So we needed a building. So we went ahead and we found this dance studio, for those of you who know, over on College Road, a dance studio that we could actually go ahead and modify to actually be a building where we could meet with a lot more people. And God bless us with a pastor.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. God has a funny sense of humor. So you guys, we were at the dance studio. I'm obviously there by then. And then all of a sudden, what happened at the dance studio?
So it's wonderful because God always wants to stress you, test you. And we were looking, again, we were growing just massively. So there's land there. We're going to build. We had an architect that was making up plans. We're praying about raising funds to build a building. And then we had a flood, right? During worship practice one night, the ceiling just broke down. Water came rushing in. And we had to go and find another home overnight. Just a few days later, we're having service. So that was going to a school at St. John's Classical Academy here on Fleming Island.
Mm. And so all of a sudden, God continued to grow. You can see we went to 400 people, now to 500. We were growing even as we were having floods and all that. More people came. And then what happened next?
And, you know, as I said, we were about to build this building over on College Road. And the facility that you're in today, a 15-year-old building, came up for sale. And so we knew that it was going to take a long time to build the building. God kept on pushing people toward River Christian Church and toward, you know, serving the community, bringing the word out there. We really needed a building quickly to go ahead and accommodate what we were trying to do on behalf of God. And so this building coming available was just a blessing to us. So we were able to go ahead and move in here. And it's funny because you'll see up there, there's an egg, right? And for those of you who don't know, but those I think those have done sleepovers here, which has been like a couple of times when we've done these like teenager things here, you can hear the screams of chicken at night, right? Because this used to be the Tyson Chicken Processing Plant. But I think the egg is about growth, right? What does God have in store next for this church?
You know, it's interesting. So it was mind-blowing. We were looking for 10 acres. God says, here's 10 acres. And he gave us this campus. It really is a miraculous thing that we are here right now. The question I have is, are we accomplishing what this team, what this group of believers set out? That was, are we serving our community? Are we bringing the word to our community? Are people responding to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, here by this resource that God's given us? Let me kind of give you, and Tim's going to help me here, just a glimpse of how God uses this campus. Number one is, you know, we have Easter services, and we had over 1,500 people here this past Easter. So many of them don't know Jesus, and they give their life to Jesus Christ. The next day, they give their life to Jesus. Next Sunday, they give their life to Jesus Christ. We have Baptism Sunday. It's amazing. We see that. And then we have our Easter outreach that happens at the same time, which is getting our campus, our community on our campus. And that's what I love about our church. How do we get our community on our campus? I look at our church, I think we look at our church more of a community center than a church building. Like, we want this community used up, using up our campus. And so we see that in things like the Easter outreach that we do for our community.
Yeah, and then, you know, following from that, we have Christmas, right? And in Christmas, we had over 1,700 people that showed up on this campus just for the Christmas Eve service. A lot of those folks are not regular attenders at any church, let alone River Christian. But if you were here earlier in the month, you would also have seen the fact that we also had something called Journey to the Nativity happening, right? And Journey to the Nativity was 2,200 people over the space of 6 hours. 3 hours on Thursday, 3 hours on Friday night. We had 2,200 people that came and heard the story of our Savior being born.
And then we have Fall Festival, which is amazing. Even people like my neighbors who don't even go to church come to Fall Festival here. We have thousands of people show up, and they love the multi-generational approach that we take here as a church. Our community responds to that, and they come, and they're blessed because of it.
Yeah, and then, you know, as we go through it, student ministry is a huge part of what we do here. Every Sunday night, we have Reach. There's over 20 adults or about 20 adults that volunteer consistently with those kids. Last year, we had about 300 kids that were going to Reach, and they brought about 150 of their friends to actually join them in that student ministry. We had almost 30 baptisms out of that group. So all throughout this building on a Sunday night, it gets a little bit crazy, but we have kids learning the Word of God and being mentored to.
It is awesome. And on top of that, we have our preschool. I don't know if you know, we have a preschool that meets here. Almost 150, almost actually more than that. Well, yeah, about 150 kids come here every single day throughout the school year. And about 30 staff we have on campus here every single day in the school year. On top of that, 150 families are impacted in our community. By the way, our preschool is not only the best in Clay County, it's the best in the Milky Way galaxy. Okay, this preschool is amazing, and it's Christ-centered. So our community loves it. I'm telling you, our community has a waiting list to get in this preschool. And guess what? Our kids hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. And what I love about it is these parents show up, they find a church home, and next thing you know it, they're in there getting baptized. And so it's amazing what's happened. On top of that, our children's ministry, we have 200 kids that show up here every week, hear about the good news of Jesus. We have VBS, things like that that happen. Hundreds of kids show up here, and community kids show up, and they hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too, with the preschool, that in itself is an outreach, right? So it's not just the fact that these children coming here to be educated, but the mothers, the families that drop off these children, the moms have an opportunity to meet at moms. While preschool is going on, it's an opportunity for these moms, in a lot of cases, the only chance they have a real adult interaction during the week, but also the mentorship from other generations to talk about the real issues that they face of raising their children.
And then we have Grief Share. Some of you are here because of Grief Share. Our Grief Share is known throughout this area, but also people at Grief Share call our people and go, how are you guys doing it so well there? That's how strong of a team we have. Many of those people come, they hear the good news, they find a church home right here at RCC. Some of them get baptized along with divorce care, people walking through that. How can I walk through that as a godly person? We want to give them tools as they go through a very, very tough time. All this for our community.
Right, and you know, keeping the campus open, as Nathan said earlier, making sure that it's accessible. You know, we also have first responders that are trained here. We also have abuse prevention. Classes that are needed for the community to help people through the trials that they're going through happen right here on this campus to help support, again, the needs of what happens in the community.
Yeah, we've got first responders, abuse, and I want to tell you right now, those groups and some of the other groups try to find places to meet at, no one will open up their doors. But we at RCC go, this is why we exist. And so your campus that you have poured into is serving all these people that can't find other places to meet, just like those two groups that Tim just mentioned. On top of that, don't forget we have a Celebrate Recovery, our Friday night Celebrate Recovery. Anybody in Celebrate Recovery here, can we give God the praise for Celebrate Recovery? We love that group right now. People trying to get over hurts, habits, hang-ups, which is every single one of us, the power of Jesus Christ. We have over 1,000 people who show up here just because of Celebrate Recovery that meets here on Friday nights.
Right. And then what do we have next?
Weddings and funerals, I believe.
And that is something that everyone thinks about for a church, right? In churches, you're going to have weddings and you have funerals. You're going to have these great moments in life. The reality of it is that a lot of churches, during COVID in particular, were not available to do that. We actually did a lot more than maybe other places could do by opening our doors, making sure those services were still happening. And I can remember back to that dance studio. You know, a family had just lost someone. that was didn't have a church, and they were just knocking on doors trying to find someone that actually would go ahead and host that funeral. And we did that. We had volunteers that came in and loved on that family, that brought in snacks, that was able to help them grieve through that particular process. So it's an area that people kind of assume just gets done, but it doesn't.
Yeah. And there's one more thing we kind of forgot about, what happens here on Sunday mornings and Thursday nights. What's
That's
that?
Right. And it's the worship that we have together, right? So that group, you know, this particular point in time, everyone thinks about Sundays as that rallying point for the church. But as you can see, throughout the entire week and throughout the entire year, there is so much that's going on here and continues to grow each and every month. And so that entire group of people all together, we're looking at about 67,000 people that pass through this campus in 2021. We expect even more so that's going to be coming through this campus as we move forward as well.
You know, and that key right there, and many, many more. We didn't talk about like the father-daughter dance, which we had over 300 people here. We didn't talk about Zero Dark Early that meets every month, or kickball events we have for our community and our church family. Catalyst, Refresh, women, hundreds of women are going to be here just this week for Refresh. Don't forget about keeping it high at the marriage conference. We have hundreds of couples, worship nights that's happening this Sunday night, life groups, tons of life groups that meet here every single week. On top of that, Food and Friends that meets here every Thursday night, which feeds tons of people every week. And on top of that, we have Father's Heart Ministry that feeds over 120 families each and every month. That is 6,000 meals that pour out of our campus each and every month for our community. Can we give God the praise for all that happens here at RCC? And once again, you're a part of that. It's all about serving the community and bringing the good news to our community. And that's happening with this tool that God's using us. But now we're given opportunity. So Tim, can you tell us about the opportunity we have in front of us?
Yeah, so, you know, as we said, we got into this campus. It was 15 years old, right? Already had wear and tear on it. We've been good stewards. This congregation has been so generous to continue to help us try to go ahead and address some of those deficiencies and also get ahead of it. And it's kind of funny because today, as you drove here, you probably thought as you came into the parking lot, one of the things you love about this campus is that you have all the space in the world for you to choose to park. We don't constrain you into little spaces. No, we don't even have lines there. You can pour wherever you want to. You can park diagonally, wherever the case may be. So new visitors find that really kind of inviting. They also find it great, too, when they come into the building. Sometimes it may not be raining outside, but it could be raining inside. So those that are really prepared with their umbrellas, it's fantastic. And then as they walk across the atrium, they can look down and say, you know what? This place has a story. Clearly, thousands of feet have gone across it because look at the cracks. Look at the tape. Look at the stains. It's fantastic. This is a place where God's people truly are on move. And then lastly, they come in here. And if it's the summertime, they're probably thinking, that was an amazing experience. They come in here and they think to themselves, wow, it's a little bit warm. But that's all right. It's a little bit humid. Who needs air conditioning? It's only Florida. So I'm trying to put some levity on this is in the sense that you know, we've been focused on continuing to try to stay ahead, but we have so many people and things going on here, we're just falling a bit behind. So this year, we're looking to go ahead and raise $200,000 to address those four key areas. Give it a little bit more place for people to understand where to park. We want people to stop being rained on as they come in through the atrium. Maybe a little bit less cracking on the when they come in there as well. And then when you come in here, make sure the fact that we continue to heat and cool this place is appropriate to make it a great place to worship.
And the question is, how are we going to raise $200,000 for these things that are necessities so we continue to reach the community? And that is through the chest of Joash. The chest of Joash, when God was using the chest of Joash to repair his temple, repair the God's house, that's what we're going to use as also. And here's what we're going to see in the atrium. You're going to see several different places with the chest, this one and another one are going to be placed out. It's an opportunity for you to give above and beyond your tithes and offerings. Tim, myself, other leaders, all the leaders actually here at RCC, our staff, our board, our elders have committed to be a part of the chest of Joash. And we're asking you to join us to help get that $200,000 goal here in 2022. And so once again, this is not your regular tithes and offerings. This is above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings. Parents, get your kids involved in this. When they're walking through, have them put in the slot up here, put some offering in there. Great way to get the kids involved because they've got ownership into this because this is their church family. This is their church household as well. And I want to tell you this, if you're online right now, or maybe you're in the house, you want to give online, you can go to riverchristian.church/chestofjoash. riverchristian.church, that's our website, /chestofjoash. And you can give online to help us get that $200,000 goal. One year from now, we can look back and we can go, man, look at all the things we vitally needed to do because this place needs repairing, able to do, and now we're able to serve our community even more effectively. And may we not be like the Levites who dragged their feet for decades. I tell you what, we can give here at RCC like always, obediently, joyfully, abundantly, like the people did of Joash's day. And here's a great thing. We can look back and go, look what God did. Look what God did. Look at our history going from a pool to a tombstones to hearses. God has done amazing things. And once again, he's going to do it in front of us. Here's the thing about RCC you need to know. RCC, as you've heard our history, RCC has never been about sticks and stones. It's always been about flesh and bones. What we do and what we have is all used to serve people and make sure they know about the love that God has for them through Jesus Christ. Change lives. We at RCC are willing to do whatever it takes to win more people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, will you guys give it up for Tim? Give it up for Tim. Thank you so much, Tim. And will you guys stand up right now? Please stand up with me. I want to pray over you, and I want to ask you once again if we can be a blessing to you anyway. We have our prayer team is up here. They would love to pray for you. Maybe today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, just like over 100 people. You want to talk about another way our building is used? Over 100 people were baptized in that baptistry right there last year, just last year. And so maybe you want to join them. Maybe you need anything at all. Please let us know. You guys online, hit that request prayer button. But right now, let me pray over you. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, we're so thankful for how you have been with us every step of the way of our story. Lord, 7 years ago, like right now, 7 years ago, a group of people, a group of believers just decided to come together and go, what's next? How can we serve our community even more effectively for the kingdom? How can we get the word out, as Tim said, how can we get the word, God, your word, God, out there to people who need to hear it? And Lord, it is mind-blowing how you have shown up again and again and again at a pool, in a cemetery, at a funeral home, at a dance studio, at a school, and now at an old chicken hatchery. God, you are doing beyond what we could ask, beyond what we can imagine. So God, we want to be good stewards. We want to take care of what you've given us so we can use it even more effectively to win more people who don't know you. Right now, people who are lost, that are going to be baptized in this baptistry right here because of how we reached out to them through this tool and how we use this campus right here to win more people to Jesus. Lord, thank you so much for using us. Lord, because it's all about you. It's all for you. It's all because of you and your glory. Praise in the name of your son, Jesus. Everyone said, amen. So once again, if we could be a blessing to you, our prayer team's up here. Once you make your way, and we would love to walk with you, whatever you need. Let's give God the glory.